Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays. That's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, that's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stokers and Beer is the official platform of the armchair professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about his or her bold opinion about the sport they love. We cover NFL, NCAA, NBA, MLB, NHL, business, e-commerce, hip-hop, R&B. Stokers and Beer, again, is the professional, is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and debate the host about the sport they love. We also talk about dog racing, horse racing, camel racing, bull riding, rodeo, boxing, UFC, whatever you want to call in and talk about, pie-eating contest, hot dog-eating contest, whatever's on the monitor that they cover in the sports world, you can call in and talk about it. If I don't know about it, you can teach me about it. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, I can definitely teach you what I'm talking about. All right, with that being said, today's topic is NFL Week 9 and Thursday Night Football preview. The host will debate guest callers in front of a live global listening audience regarding the National Football League Week 9 predictions and Thursday Night Football preview and predictions. We got a lot of also a lot of NBA news from last night. The big showdown in L.A. The New Orleans Pelicans came to town to the crypt. To the crypto.com center, to the crypt. The New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williams came down to the crypt last night in a big game last night. It's saying on the monitor, the King's Court, LeBron says he was in bed sick since Sunday before scoring 20 points. LeBron says he was in bed sick since Sunday before scoring 20 points. Are we impressed by his performance in the Lakers overtime win against the Pelicans? I'm not impressed because I know that the Lakers, there's really nothing wrong with the Lakers. I don't care what they say about the dysfunction of the Lakers in their current state. The Lakers have a big three. They have Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron James. And they got some pretty good role players behind them. I think they got two shooters. They got Reeves. And they got, I think this guy I just saw last night, think that through the take him in the overtime. I think his last name is Evans. Call in and correct me if I'm wrong. Call in and correct me if I got the guy that hit the three-pointer at the buzzer and took him in the overtime. If you want to call in to correct me or debate me, my guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. Again, it's 515-602-9687. That was real big last night. A big win for the Lakers, but I'm not surprised. I say big win because they've been struggling to pull out a win. However, they're not the only team that's been struggling to pull out a win. I looked at the record for the Boston Celtics last night, who dropped one last night to the Cleveland Cavaliers at the hands of Donovan Mitchell and their point guard. I forgot his name. I think his number is number 10. But I forgot his name. The point guard, I believe, just coming back off an eye injury. But that gentleman, I think he had 29 points against the Boston Celtics. And then Donovan Mitchell, no, he had like 11 in the fourth quarter. I don't know how much he had total, but he's looking good with Cleveland. He's looking real good with Cleveland. But yeah, that game with the Pelicans and the Lakers, I'm not surprised that LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers pulled it out again. They have a big three. You know, they have Russell Westbrook, definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, top 75 player, and he looked good last night to me. I think I caught the game at the third quarter because I didn't even know it was on TV in my area, but I keep forgetting anything that is in California, like the Lakers or the Clippers, they're not going to show it on ESPN. It's going to be on Bally's. I have to catch it on Bally's Sport Network. You know, all these different contracts and TV contracts just gets on my nerves. All these different cable companies and all this stuff, you know, it gets kind of tricky sometimes when you're trying to follow your teams. But I found it. I had to check it out on Channel 71 in San Diego, Cox Cable, Bally's. So just in case anybody doesn't know how to catch the games out here, when you want to see the Lakers or the Clippers play, sometimes or the Padres for that matter, you have to go to Bally Sport Network, Channel 71, out here, I believe. And it might not even be Bally. I think it's just something Sports Net. Anyway, but it's Channel 71. That's why I catch a lot of the games for the Lakers on Channel 71. But that's neither here or there. Just scroll through your guide. But I had to find it on the alternate channel, but it was the third quarter by the time I found it. And Zion, I don't even think Zion was in the game when I had turned it on. So I was getting a little nervous. I was like, I thought he was playing tonight, but, you know, he finally showed back up in the game. I think Zion had gotten into some early foul trouble, stuff like that. Zion had gotten into some early foul trouble. He was sitting on the bench by the time I got into the game because I was currently watching the first half of the Portland Trail Blazers and the who did they play? It wasn't the Mavericks. It was Memphis. Memphis and the Trail Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies. I was watching them. Yeah, that was a good game too. You know, of course, you know, John Morant was out there during the first half. I don't really recall seeing him put on too many highlights. However, I was flicking back and forth between Major League Baseball, which the Phillies lost last night to the Houston Astros. They lost last night in Philly. So I was flipping back and forth trying to catch the catch from the sixth, I think from the bottom of the sixth inning with the Phillies, and then trying to watch the Portland Trail Blazers. Then I finally found the doggone Lakers and the Pelicans, who I thought they were going to have on ESPN. So I was flipping around through the channels all last night, just trying to make sure I had enough information to get some to put together a good product this morning, on the show, so I could have some information for you guys and stuff like that. In NBA news, they're saying the Nets are finalizing Ime Udoka as the next head coach, and it's the right fit for KD and Kyrie to thrive in Brooklyn. Well, you know, nine times out of ten, Udoka probably ain't going to get that job because some do-gooder, some protester, somebody ain't going to be happy about the hiring. Oh, why are y'all hiring that guy? He shouldn't be hired, you know, in this space because he harassed a female employee, blah blah blah, that he shouldn't have been dating in the organization. Then you got a lot of people that ain't happy with him too because you know he was dating a high level celebrity and Nia Long, beautiful high level actress in Hollywood. You know, a lot of people know who she is. You know, she's still an A-list celebrity, and you know, a lot of people, I'm gonna be honest, ain't happy about the fact that he had her, and he messed her over with an office employee from the job. Some people may look at that like, you know, why does he deserve another chance after hurting her? You know, a high-level celebrity actress, and you just basically, cheated on her with what people might say, which doesn't really matter, but people might say, well, that was just a common employee or somebody else, one of your subordinates in the front office. You had an affair on her, an affair on Nia Long with someone that probably wasn't economically equivalent to what she brings to the table, you know. So it's like, and I'm just saying that it doesn't matter about what the young lady who Coach Udoka was messing with. It doesn't matter about her economic status. I'm just telling you how people think. Why I don't think this situation is going to go through. Then I'm hearing some people saying, well, he has served his penance. You know, his personal relationship with somebody, that it was a personal relationship, whether you agree with it or not. I don't think him and Nia Long was married. I think they were engaged to be married. And even if they were married, I'm going to just say it like this. There was a personal relationship with that man, with Coach Udoka and the woman that he was seeing in the front office. It was a personal relationship. It was his private personal relationship. But, you know, it leaked. It got public. And he got released. So some people are saying he has served his penance, so he shouldn't get that job right away so soon after the firing. Me, myself, I say he served enough. What he had and what was going on in the dark came to the light. It was put out on public display. So now, with that being said, let's move on. The man didn't commit a crime. He didn't commit a crime. Some would say made a bad judgment decision dating someone in the office that was a subordinate. Okay, let's move on from that. The man has an opportunity to get another coaching position. We don't have that many African-American NBA coaches. Let's go ahead and get him back in position, you know, to at least have some minority hiring, have one more minority hiring after a firing, put him back in place, and then, you know, things don't look so bad on the minority coaching side when you do that, if you do that for the NBA. So I say that Coach Udoka should be able to get that job back. But, again, me, myself, personally, I think the negotiations between today and the next couple of days are going to stall because it's going to be some bounce back from somebody. Somebody's going to have some bounce back. Somebody out there is going to start whining and saying, no, we don't want him here in New York. We don't need that in New York. What if he comes here and do the same thing or something? So it's going to be interesting. If he gets that job, if it goes through, I'll be surprised because I just know how people are. When you get put out in the public like that, you know, these affairs get put out and stuff like that, and then, you know, they let you go, you know, they fire you, leave you out, hang you out to dry. Then, okay, now this team let go Steve Nash, and then the most common the smart decision amongst most people is like, okay, we'll get Udoka. I mean, he just came from a championship. He has championship pedigree. Go ahead and bring him in, get some organization, get some direction established in our locker room, get a new culture built in our locker room. You know, it makes sense. It makes sense to bring Coach Udoka into the Brooklyn Nets organization. But, again, it's not that easy when you start talking about the court of public opinion. A lot of times the court of public opinion matters because why? These are the people that buy the tickets. They don't want to buy the tickets. The public buys the tickets. That's the whole thing about it. That's why you have to halfway listen, 50% listen to what your fan base is saying. So they you know, it's almost like when Michael Vick got in trouble for the dog fighting scandal. Then they decided to bring him back. They decided to bring him back for the Philadelphia Eagles, and the community in Philadelphia was, "Oh, you can't bring Vick here. We don't want him here," and all this good stuff. You know, it's like the man has served it. He served his penance. He did his time. You know, and at the same time, it wasn't Michael Vick himself that was killing the dogs. It was the stuff was, from what I'm understanding, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, please call in and correct me at 515-602-9687. Guest calling in line is 515-602-9687. If I am correct, am correct on it, Michael Vick wasn't even the one killing the dogs. It was the fact that he knew they was dog fighting on his property, and he knew that they were burying the dogs when they died or something like that on his property and all that. He knew all this, you know, but, you know, I guess he was letting his homeboys or some of his buddies use one of his properties while he'd be out of town and stuff, and, you know, they was doing their thing, you know, kept his friends close, let them do their thing, you know. Michael Vick's a millionaire, that type of thing, you know. They was doing their dog fighting ring, you know, making money, betting on the dog fights and all that stuff, just like down south, you know, they do, they, you know, bet on the chicken fights. These things go on down in the rural south. If you can get on the outskirts of town and kind of like do your own thing. So these things do go on. But Michael Vick served his penance. The court of public opinion in Philadelphia is like, we don't want him here. We don't want him here. But, of course, once he got out there and started winning games, you know, they kind of like they silenced that. And I believe that if Udoka does get this job, what's going to happen is he's going to start winning games, get the coach to turn around, because he's going in there coaching the big three. If they all four can put their heads together, Coach Udoka, Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, get him back going, get him motivated, get him being the best Ben Simmons he can be, and Kyrie Irving. Just keep Kyrie focused on the game versus being in the public opinion, in the public spotlight, because he's in trouble now. They're saying he made some anti-Semitic remarks, or what, he promoted an anti-Semitic movie, I'll put it like that. I can't say they said he said something, but the fact that he promoted an anti-Semitic movie, and I think the title of the movie, you guys can research it. And excuse my language, I'm just going to cite what I believe the title of the movie to be was Hebrews to Negroes. Hebrews to Negroes, I believe, was the title of the movie. I guess you guys can Google that and see exactly what the movie is talking about. If I'm correct about the title of the movie, Hebrews to Negroes, call in 515-602-9687 to correct me. Again, guest call in is 515-602-9687 to correct me on that. And I know it may... People may wonder why I always double up on, you know, my guest call-in line number. I do that because I want you to remember the number to call in to the show. And number two, I like to be corrected or debated on anything that you feel I'm saying wrong or you have a different opinion on. So I'm encouraging you to call in to the show. So anyway, going back to last night's game in the NBA, the late fighting game, you know, I'm really excited. I like the way my man, I think his name is Jose Alvarado. If I'm saying that incorrectly, please call into the guest call in line and correct me. But Alvarado coming off the bench, his defense, I like that young man. I like that kid. He's they call him Grand Theft Auto. I think he picked LeBron James' pocket last night, you know, and they got a good play out of that turnover. But Alvarado, I like him when he comes off that bench and sets that spark. But Zion Williamson last night, I think he got in early foul trouble, so he really couldn't, in the fourth quarter, he couldn't get off like I know he wanted to, because he had to kind of like stay out of foul trouble. But he had a good game. When I finally seen him get on the court and find some rhythm, even being in foul trouble, he made some spectacular plays. And I'm just excited. If he can stay healthy, I'm just excited to see what he can do once he learns how to stay out of foul trouble, once he, you know, has a full season and has a full season as a as a starter, and next year he'll be a vet. I'm just waiting on him to not be still in his rookie status, because he hasn't played a lot. So I'm still looking at him like kind of like a rookie. He's not a rookie, but he's like in football in college. How they say, well, we're going to put you on a red shirt, a medical red shirt. He's been in his red shirt years as a rookie, you know, because he really didn't get to play. His rookie year, he was out of there. He didn't play much. And then, so we saw promise. Then the second year we saw promise. Then what is this now? His third year, and so now we're going to see what he can do. But the last two seasons has just been like, man, we cannot get Zion on that court. But he looked good last night. He looked good. He battled the King at the end of the game. They had an embrace, a strong embrace, him and LeBron James, you know, after that. Because they battled. Him and LeBron James, they battled last night. They battled. If I'm correct, LeBron was guarding him a lot of the times. I ain't going to say every time, but a lot of times he was guarding Zion. And Zion, you know, he put up at least one or two good shots up on LeBron James, if I'm correct. But what I noticed what they were doing with Zion Williamson, they were double teaming him. They weren't letting him loose. Every time I look up, they had two or three guys on them. They made sure he was double teamed at all times. And I think pretty much they was putting three guys on him. They was putting three guys on him when he got down in the paint. Put three guys on him. Don't let him get off. Because it was kind of hard for him to just be dominant down there in the paint when you got everybody on you and the referee ain't calling the foul. So that was kind of interesting. That was an interesting observation that I made on that. So it was a good game last night. I was pleased that I had a playoff by it. Them two might see each other down the road. But what I noticed, again, I'm not surprised that the Lakers won. I'm not surprised that they won, even though they went to overtime, because they got a good team. They're supposed to win that game. They got a good team, especially a game where you don't have Brandon Ingram. I don't think Herb Jones was in the game last night either. You know, and then now you got to lean on the leadership of C.J. McCollum. But I ain't trying to call C.J. I like C.J., but I'm noticing that, to me, I'm not saying C.J. ain't a leader. But I'm noticing that it seems like his demeanor to me seems like he might be a quiet guy, and he's an encourager more so than a leader. An encourager, I mean, he kind of like can keep the ship steady. You know, he knows how to grab the reins and keep the ship steady. You know, if the captain is sick that day, but that captain got to hurry up and come back, because I don't see the stability in the ship making it to its destination with CJ at the helm. That's just my observation. You can call into the show and correct me or debate me if you think I'm wrong about it, or if you got another take on that. I just don't see the fire, or at least last night I didn't see the fire like in CJ's eyes. And I'm like, it seemed like he's the same CJ to me that he was in Portland. Dame Lillard was the leader. He was the captain. CJ, hey, I'm in my support role. I'm in my support role to back the captain up. If the captain is out that night, then I'll step up and, you know, keep the ship steady. I won't let the ship sink. I'm going to do as much as I can not to let the ship sink. But when you're in a position like he's in, when you're in a position like he's in, you know, you're like CJ is a vet, and I think the most experienced vet on the team, because he has a ring. Sorry about that. People had a little technical difficulty. I made a mistake and muted my mic. But CJ McCollum has a ring. And he's played in big games with Damian Lillard. So my whole thing is, I was just trying to see, you know, when Brandon Ingram is going to be able to come back, because I think Ingram, to me, would be more so the leader. Because in a game like that, he's played in L.A. He played with LeBron James. And he would have came in there with a chip, because LeBron James tried to sell him off, him and everybody else, tried to sell five players off. He was one of them, right along with Lonzo Ball, tried to get rid of those guys so they can bring in AD. But that didn't happen. That got blocked. And he wound up having to finish out the season with those guys. But, I mean, I know it had some mental saltiness there, because to know that you're a leader – is behind your back willing and dealing, trying to get you traded to New Orleans or get you traded somewhere else so they can bring over AD and get a chip, which had happened. It just didn't happen that year. But I know that Brandon Ingram would have probably came in. I believe that Brandon Ingram would have came in with a chip last night, and that leadership that the team needed to get them over the hump. So we still don't have all our pieces back in New Orleans for the Pelicans. We still don't have all our pieces back. I'm just excited. It's still early, way early. I'm trying to see what we're going to look like by February for the All-Star break. But it's just way too early to really tell with any of these teams right now. Because some of the teams that our playoff teams, our conference champion teams, they're still trying to get their legs up under them. I think Giannis, the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they're undefeated. I think they're the only undefeated team. But, I mean, they do have Giannis. So, that says a lot. And that's a Giannis without Chris Middleton backing him up, because I think Chris Middleton's still out. I don't know when Chris Middleton's coming back. So, yeah. In baseball news, Astros 5, Philly 0. Astros 5, Philly nothing. World Series game 4. The series is now, I believe, 2-2. Tied up 2-2. So, That's the score from last night's Major League Baseball World Series. The Astros shut out the Phillies. Astros shut out the Phillies 5-0. So they was able to tie the series up. So it's 2-2 right now. 2-2 game 4. So game 5 should be coming up tonight. And I'll see if if my new adopted team, the Phillies, since they put my Padres out, is my new adopted team with Bryce Harper and Matt Schwarber and all those guys. I'm just looking to see if they can get a bounce back tonight and get a win. Are they in Houston now? No, they got one. I think they have one more tonight in Philly, so they can get one more at home. And then go back to Houston and get one more. Then they're in good standings. I wish they could have just won last night and put more pressure on the Astros to win one more game. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Major League Baseball is good action in the World Series. But again, that's why I was switching back and forth, trying to see what's going on in the World Series and everything like that. You know, see what's going on, so I could have some information to tell you guys about that and talk about on the show. But in football news, they're saying that what we got here on the monitor is Dan Quinn saying the best version of Michael allows him to play as linebacker and defensive end. Dan Quinn, best version of Michael Parsons allows him to play as a linebacker and defensive end. Is this the best way to utilize Michael Parsons for the Cowboys? I say, yeah. I mean, linebacker, defensive end, he can play the linebacker role, step up on the line, play at the defensive end on the edge, and, get around the tight end get around that tight end to get to the quarterback. I think that that makes sense to me. He's athletic enough. Like they said, he could actually play every position on the football field except for quarterback. So that means this guy's so athletic, he can play safety. He can play some level of defensive back. So I say put him at safety. You can put him you can play linebacker. You can put him at the nickel. You can put him at the doggone defensive end. You know, you can put on the offensive side of the ball. You can play fullback. You can play running back. You know, he probably can play some level of wide receiver if you need him to go out and play a little bit of wide receiver in some type of package. So, or you could use him as a running back and catch the ball out the backfield. So what they're saying is he can defend at most positions, and he can play on offense on a lot of different positions. But he's a defensive player. That's what they're paying for. And, yeah, to answer the question that Dan Quinn said, to back up what Dan Quinn said, yeah, you can use him as a defensive end and as a linebacker. It really doesn't matter. He's still going to be dominant wherever you put him at. They're still going to have to account for him in some way, form, or fashion. He's just a player that can't be on the field and you don't account for him. Because if you do that, that's a mistake. That's a costly mistake. And the quarterback is probably going to let you know something about that. Like, hey, block this guy. I can't keep him off me. So I agree with that statement from Dan Quinn. Yeah, so it's I was looking at some NBA news coming across the monitor. They're questioning Golden State. I think they're 0-4 on the road. The record on the road is 0-4. So they're questioning Golden State and everything like that, like what they're going to do. You know, are they going to tighten up? You know, is somebody going to, you know, get at the helm and steer the ship? More than likely, that's Clay. Not Clay, but Steph Curry. He's going to have to get up there and right the ship on that. But anyway, with that being said, we're going to get off into some music mix real quick. The time on deck is 8:31 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And outside it is 57 degrees, partly sunny and windy here in San Diego, California. 57 degrees, partly sunny and windy here in San Diego, California. And you are listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show with your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. All right, we're going to get off into some of our music mix, and we'll be back. Stand by. We'll be right back. your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies of Bear Radio Show. And our topic for today is NFL Week 9 and Thursday Night Football preview. But we got a lot of NBA action that we're talking about, a lot of Major League Baseball action. But I'm going to go to my phone line. I got my man from Detroit, JB, calling out of Detroit. He's going to be giving us some his insight on last night's World Series action. And I also got my man, DC, out of Baltimore, Maryland, on the line standing by. He's going to give us some a counter take on what myself and JB are talking about Major League Baseball. And then we're going to switch off into some basketball because both of these men, JB from Detroit and DC from Maryland, are big basketball enthusiasts. I want to get their take on last night's game from the New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Lakers game. Why the Lakers looked so good last night and why are people so surprised that they pulled it out. I'm not surprised because the Lakers have a big three. But anyway, let's get off into some baseball information from my man, JB. 2642. I'm coming to you now. 5-4-3-2-1. Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. How's everything?
Man, everything's lovely, man. Lovely, you know. Nice sunny day out here in San Diego, but it's a little windy, so I'm going to stay inside. but
We got some good weather here, man.
Oh, do you? Okay. Detroit's having good weather this time of year. That's pretty good.
Man, it's shocking, man. It's like it's sunshine and it's about 50-some degrees. About 50-some degrees. So, man, we enjoying it because we only have a little bit more, we don't have that much left for it. So.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But here's the last night, Major League Baseball action, What happened last night to my Phillies? That's my new adopted team. They beat the Padres in this day in my conference. What happened last night? Why they couldn't put more pressure on the Astros? How was the Astros able to pull it out?
Well, one, Phillies is my team because I love Bryce Harper, but I think it really came down to Christian Javier is a great pitcher. I mean he was a great bullpen guy. That they converted into being like a middle reliever. No, he was a closer, then he was a middle reliever, now he's a starter. He is sneaky good. I mean, he's not, a regular name that you hear, but if you go through his stats, I think he had, 11 wins, I believe, this year, and ERA was, three something. So, the fact that he was on the mound, it gave them a good chance. I think it gave them a better chance than when, Justin Verlander, their ace, was on the mound. But I think it was just – it came down to the fact that, again, what I mentioned, I believe a week or two ago, in the World Series, you have to – in the playoffs, especially in baseball, you have to hit the ball. I mean, the Phillies the night before had, five home runs.
Right.
Shut them out, stuff like that. I mean, baseball is a weird game. So last night you saw what a World Series team looked like. I mean, this is going to be a dogfight, period, point blank. Whoever can win. I mean, whoever can hit and can score runs, those guys are going to win the World Series, period, point blank. I mean, both sides have some dogs on the team. So Houston just last night just was able to get to Nola early, and they've scored five runs. It's I'm looking at the box score now, five runs, and a no hitter on top of that, a combined no hitter. That's a momentum swinger, because now they're going back to Houston, so that's going to be tough for the Phillies to win consistently there, to win two more games at Houston.
Well, you did have Houston at the beginning of the season predicted to win the whole thing, am I correct?
I did. Because, the thing is like, people thought since, Houston, it lost Correa, they still have a really good lineup. I mean, that team, to me personally, I would not be shocked if they win. The thing is with Houston, Yordan Alvarez haven't had a good postseason. Bregman's been having a decent postseason. But you need your two dogs to explode these next two games, because if Alvarez hits, they win. When Alvarez don't hit, they lose. So you need your guys to be you know, effective. So I think that's the only way the Phillies have a shot, if they control Alvarez and they're able to, because, you know, Altuve hasn't had a great postseason either, you know, stuff like that. So I think you just got to just, you know, neutralize the threat, really.
Well, Sam, stand by, JB. I'm going to go to my man, D.C. in Maryland, to see if see what his take is on that same question. Stand by. And we're coming to my man, D.C. in Baltimore, Maryland. We're going to come to you in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Same question, D.C. What is your take on the game last night? Why the Phillies could not put more pressure on the Houston Astros, you know, putting them in a slump, going back to Houston? Go ahead and answer that question for me as well. Chime on what JB was talking about.
First,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, sir.
Sure. First, thank you for that. First things first, Houston is going to win the series because they are the better team. Philly has good momentum, you know, coming in. They were the 11th seeded team, if you think about it, of all the teams that make the playoffs. But they are not the better team. And I thought the game was a huge win for Houston. Number one, they shut down the dreams and thoughts of Philly, you know, wrapping the series up or being close to wrapping it up at home. They shut that down. And then the next thing is they did a record-setting no-hitter. I mean, like, they no-hit them at home, right? They pretty much quieted any momentum that Philly had. Houston proved that they're a better squad. JB was right on one thing when he said the team that hits and pitches the best wins. You're absolutely right. And that's going to be Houston. I projected Houston to win in the five-game series. I thought it would be a gentleman's sweep. Philly impressed me. Bryce Harper showed that he's really a talented guy, and he has single-handedly changed that. It's going to be 4-2, but Houston is going to win the series. I do not see it going 7. I think Houston's going to pull it out. I think they're going to win one more, obviously, at Philly, and then, of course, close it out at home.
All right. And I'm gonna segue here to because we got a lot of stuff going on yesterday in the NBA. Got about three games I want to get both of you guys to comment on. So JB, stand by. I'm gonna hit DC with this question first, and then I'm gonna transition back to you. Last night, game that I was looking at, which was the Pelicans. You know, my New Orleans Pelicans, because that's my home state. My New Orleans Pelicans against the Lakers. I caught the game about the third quarter, and I looked on there, and I was surprised not to see Zion Williams. I thought that he had set him out again, so I almost threw my beer against the wall and got a little upset. But then I seen him come in, but they said he was in foul trouble. So I don't know. I didn't see the first half, so I don't know how he got in early foul trouble. But what I did notice that they were doing when he was in the game, Zion had a pretty good game. I think he could have been better, but they had a good scheme for him. They were doing. I saw them doing a lot of triple teaming on him last night. It's like at one point, every time he was down low, they had like three guys on him. You know, that kind of ticked me off. I'm just like, you know, I can see you double teaming the guy, but y'all triple teaming the guy. I guess he's that powerful. But what was your take last night? Because they're saying that LeBron James' three-point shooting is off. He's only shooting 22.6 on the season, 0-for-7 last night from three. Should he start attacking the rim more? I said, yeah, he should start attacking the rim more. Of course, that's his game. That's why they look good last night, because he's not trying to shoot the ball doing stuff that he can't do. He's not trying to – it's the same thing with Russell Westbrook. He looked like he had a good game last night. I don't know whether he started or just came off the bench, but the bottom line is when you let guys play the way they're supposed to be playing – rather than making them shoot, you look good. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I did think it was a good game. I think the Lakers won it only out of experience, maturity. You know, Anthony Davis played, and you know, you had LeBron out there, and those guys know how to win in crunch time. That's why they get that big bucks, the experience, right? And I think that made the difference. You know, Zion, although he's been in the league for a few years, let's be honest, he hasn't played a whole season. So he still doesn't understand the NBA. That's right. He still doesn't understand the NBA game. And I say he doesn't understand the NBA game from the perspective of because he hasn't played a whole season, he don't know how teams adjust to you on the pro level. It's one thing to be sitting courtside watching how teams play. It's another thing to be in the game and having it happen to you, right? Like you talked about, him being triple team, you got to know how to pass out of that, right? You got to know how to pass out of that, out of the triple team. Somebody's open, right? If you're being double and triple team, somebody's open, and you got to recognize how to do that or how to sense that, right? And so obviously he didn't. But they are Memphis. I'm sorry, New Orleans is an up and coming team. They are going to be dangerous. And while they lost to the Lakers last night, when they play again later on in the season, I don't think it's going to go that way. I don't think the Lakers are going to pull it out. I think they're going to make the adjustments and beat them.
All right. Well, let me switch over to my man JB and get him to get his offering on that same. On the same topic right there. JB, you there? They still got you. What do you
yes, sir.
I want to ask you this here. What do you think on pretty much on the same question? Does LeBron James need to do like he did last night, number one, and keep taking it to the hole? Same thing with Westbrook. And at the same time, why do you think they was able to pull that game off over the Pelicans? You think that Zion is still playing, you know, like as a rookie because like DC was saying, he hasn't had much time on the court, so he's still like a red shirt. Like in college, he got a red shirt. What do you think? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and I completely agree with that, but we also have to look at, you know, the Pelicans is also, they're young, and that's all they really did yesterday was try to outrun the Lakers. So when you have a young team, all they want to do is get out and run. With Zion, he's going to get out and run. And I've seen I've seen the triple teams last night. But you got to also think about even some of the triple teams also didn't work. He jumped over Anthony Davis a few times to grab boards. So, you know, for that purpose, do I think later in the season I think it'll be another win for the Lakers because now you're starting to see a Lakers team that's saying, do what you got to do. Be who you are. Don't be anybody who we want to make you to be. We're not trying to, you know, Westbrook, we're not trying to make you a shooter. We're not trying to make you play your game. I mean, you saw that perfectly in the last two games when they, you know, gave him, you know, the bench role or, I mean, I think he started, but, you know, he had some momentum coming off the bench. But now The ball is out of LeBron's hands and it's into Westbrook's hands that he's used to, you know, he's used to that. That's his game. Is getting the ball in his hands and going. So, and creating and making things happen. So, I just don't want us to fall in love with the fact that when they started out, what was it, 0-5, I was, you know, I wasn't in panic because a guy like LeBron, he's going to find a way to win. Regardless if Anthony Davis is healthy or not, LeBron's going to find a way to win. I think last night, LeBron kind of was like, okay, my shot's not falling. And usually what happens with LeBron, if his shot's not falling, he starts to become a facilitator. But he forgets the fact that he's a dynamic force heading to the rim. So he has to be more aggressive. I mean, because if you look at any stars like Luka and I've been watching KD and I've been watching Giannis, those guys go get it. Period, point blank. All right, my shot is off. I'm going low post. I'm going high post. So for the Lakers, I think this is starting. I'm not going to say, oh, this is a start to something brand new, but the team is starting to look more of a unit now, even though they went to overtime with the Pelicans. But let's not sleep on the Pelicans. That was a playoff team last year without Zion.
If I can chime in, JB, do you think last night's loss came because Brandon Ingram still in concussion protocol? I don't think he was playing. I don't think that Herb Jones is playing with a hyperextended knee. But what I want to ask you is this here. And DC, stand by. I'm going to get back to you. Stand by. But the thing about it is what I want to ask you, JB, is this. I saw C.J. McCollum last night and DC, I'm going to come back to you on the same thing. I don't think that C.J. McCollum, to me, even though with the playoff experience, him playing with Dame Lillard, I was expecting him to be more of a dog. Like I'm going to take this team. And I'm not saying he's not a leader. I'm not saying he's not in leadership. But what I'm saying is that when Brandon Ingram was out there, I felt like Brandon Ingram would have been with a chip on his shoulder because he almost got sold off to somewhere else so they could bring in AD. I think they were trying to send him to the Pelicans anyway to get AD, but they blocked that trade or whatever the case may be a couple years ago. I think if Ingram was on the court, he would have gave them more of a dog intensity to win versus just having McCullough out there, because McCullough seemed to be playing the same way he did in Portland as a support player, but in a leadership position here in New Orleans. What do you think?
I completely agree. I'm not a big CJ McCollum is great. Let me not say he's great.
He's a ball.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's a ball, but McCollum needs that one extra guy, right? So a guy like Ingram, I think personally, if Brandon Ingram played last night, I believe the Lakers would have lost by at least by 10 to 12 points, because how effective Brandon Ingram is. And there's no matchup on the court that the Lakers could have put on that four that would have handled him. I mean, the way his game has increased over the last 2-3 years, is amazing. So, you know, CJ McCollum is more like, because if you ever see him play, he's looking to make someone take the shot that he doesn't want to take. Or he misses a shot and he gets in his head. Now you start seeing him, you know, passing up threes or, you know, not being as an effective scorer. So I think last night, personally, Ingram not being healthy or not, you know, not being clear from the concussion protocol, I think that was definitely a huge blow to the Pelicans.
All right. Stand by, JB. I'm going to go back to my man, DC, and ask him that same question. Stand by, gentlemen. DC, I'm going to let you go ahead and answer that question, man. Do you think CJ McCollough is an aggressive enough leader versus if we had Brandon Ingram last night? What would the outcome be different if we had Ingram last night steering the ship versus CJ McCollough?
All right, first of all, JB is 100% correct. He's 100% correct because, and as you stated, Rome, CJ McCollough is a Robin. He's not a Batman. He's a great player. He puts up incredible numbers. He can score to be a undersized shooting guard. That guy can put the ball in the cup, man. He's a truth out there. But he's not a Batman. He is a Robin. If Brandon Ingram had a play, he absolutely would have made the difference, and New Orleans would have won that game. First of all, the Lakers have no one that can match up. Even Lonnie Walker. He can't match up with Brandon Ingram. He's short. He's 6'4". Brandon Ingram is 6'8". Brandon Ingram used to play for the Lakers. You know he would have been ready to go in that game against them.
Right.
You're right. He would have put up an easy 25. And as JB said, it would have been a 12-point swing for New Orleans. And so they would have won that game without going into overtime. That is a true statement. And I'll tell you this, Brandon Ingram is definitely that dog. He is the guy that can do well. Going back to JB's comments about the Lakers, though, I do see the perception of let's play, everybody play their game, and we'll just work together. And you're right, you can't make Russell Westbrook, Isaiah Thomas out there or anything like that. I agree with that, but definitely Russell needs to hold the ball more instead of LeBron. But we all know that that's not going to happen all 82 games. LeBron's going to take the ball. He's going to run it up the court, and Westbrook's going to be mad in his 25 minutes a game as the season goes along, because that's just what LeBron do. He want to bring the ball up. He want to initiate the offense. He wants to pretend like he's Magic Johnson. He's not going to just let Russell Westbrook bring
the
ball
because
up.
Let me chime in if I can, based on what you're saying right now. I don't understand the reason why they can't play like that. I mean, okay, let Russ bring it up and let him dish it back to LeBron. And when LeBron gets the ball in his hand, LeBron can do what he wants to do from any part of the court. So why can't it work? Why can't it? They can't play like that for the rest of the season.
Ego. I mean, because to be quite honest, the best point guard on the team is Patrick Beverly. Right? I mean, let's just be honest. He's the best point guard in Russell Westbrook.
I don't know, but I'll go with it.
I say that because when you think about what does a point guard do, you want a point guard to initiate the offense, be a good on-the-ball defender, right, and make everybody else better. And Patrick Beverly, his whole career, that's what he does. And he takes tough shots when he needs to. When if there's a tough shot that needs to be taken, Patrick Beverly is that guy, right? I mean, he's not trust me, he's not Robert Ory. He's not Big Shot Bob. He's not Chauncey Billups. I'm not saying that. But he's solid in that way, right? Think about when he's with Minnesota. He took them to the playoffs. I mean, again, that's what he can do. And he's a better floor general than Russell Westbrook. But Russell Westbrook is a talent. He's got to have the ball in his hands. JB's right on that. And, you know, he's very happy when he does play to his strengths, which he should be, right? But LeBron's not going to let it happen. Ego.
Okay. Ego. Well, let me say it way back to I got to get to New York basketball. And I'm going to go back to JB here for a second. Stand by, DC. I got to go back to JB so I can get it taken in. I know you're going to want to comment on this one when I come back to you. Stand by. Yeah, so JB, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You still got a few more minutes? You still got about 5 more minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't holding you. I didn't know if he was at work or whatever, or doing something. But anyway, thanks for coming on the show again, and thanks for sticking around. I rarely have two sports contributors on the show. DC being my number one sports contributor. Currently, right now, you stand at rank number two as far as contributing on the show. But I want to ask you this here: New York basketball got two big topics. But the first topic I'm gonna come to you with this right here. Got coming up, I forgot what day it is, but coming up soon, I hear that the Nets and the Knicks are going to be playing in the Garden, Nets and the Knicks. Who do you got in that game, and do you think the leadership of Julius Randle being the vet on that team can get the Knicks over the hump against a team like the Nets, who's facing all kind of discombobulations with coaching changes, new coaches probably coming in, which we'll talk about later. Kyrie Irving's anti-Semitic posting issue we'll talk about later. Do you think Julius Randle and the Knicks can overcome the three-headed monster of Ben Simmons, KD, and Kyrie Irving if they come with their A game like they did the other night when they pulled out a win? Okay, so go ahead.
To be honest, and I'm being very, very, very honest, you know, there's probably no team in the league that can beat the Nets. Maybe the Warriors. But when you have all three guys like that going, or maybe I'll say two guys because Ben Simmons is not looked on as being like a guy. But I mean, he is a guy. He's a superstar. But there's no way I don't see the Knicks because even coming close to beating the Nets just because of the fact Julius Randle to me is not a leader. Like if you listen to him in the post game, if you ever see him on the court on the bench, he's either always crying about something, it's always pointing fingers. So me personally, it's like you got two great organizations that are in weird times of their organization. I mean, like the Nets just fired Steve Nash, and that's a weird thing too because when KD wanted Steve Nash fired during the summer, the owner came out saying there's no way we'll fire Steve Nash. Okay, you came out and said there's no way you're going to fire Steve Nash, and then you fired him in 6 games into the season. Well, you have to also think Steve Nash really coached a team that Kyrie played, what, every other week Like, he got all this there's a lot of things Kyrie is going through right now and that he's putting that team through. So, but this is not the first, and this is another thing, this is not the first time Kyrie is putting a team in a weird predicament. This is not the first time. He's done this. He did it in Cleveland. The whole, I want my own team thing. Okay, cool. They send you off to Boston. Well, then you get mad in Boston, you want to leave. Now you're with the Mets. Now you're mad with the – so there's no place for that, for him. So, and you got a guy like KD who wants to win, but KD wants to win to show that he didn't need the Warriors to win the ring. So, just to circle back, there's a lot of turmoil between both teams, but a focused Nets team is one of the best teams clearly in the league. I just hope. And then also, too, the Nets, man, Royce O'Neal has came in, and, I mean, he's averaging, I think, 15, 16 points. You know, a guy like that is very effective, you know, because teams aren't keying in on Royce O'Neal. You get what I'm saying? They're keying in on a Kyrie, on a KD, and stop Ben from driving. But Royce O'Neal, I think, is top five, maybe top six in the league in three-point shooting. So the Nets, they look like my clear favorite, especially over the Knicks. But I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs. But I think as far as the Knicks-wise, I think the Nets will get them.
Are the Knicks making the playoffs?
They have to, for me personally, they have to make a move. If they make a move that's more of like a great, you know, some trades, maybe, you know, send off some picks. But that team, they're only one or two, maybe one great piece away from being a playoff team. Because this is still the same squad that was, you know, that went toe-to-toe with the Hawks.
Why don't they, and stand by, DC, I'm about to come back to you, but JB, why is it that they don't go ahead and tank and get that big center from France? I forgot his name. Funny Lemania. African name. Him, that one. Why don't the Knicks just go ahead on the tank and just get this guy? I mean, you already got, who's the other young man they drafted a couple of years ago? Can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Oh, RJ Barrett.
Barrett, they got Barrett.
Yeah, RJ Barrett.
Put this new kid with him, and then I think the Knicks also got who is that? Brunson. So there's your big three. Why not? Why don't they just tank? And DC, I'm coming back to you to comment on this. Go ahead.
Me personally, you know, the Knicks is such a story franchise, and you just spent like I think Brunson got a 5-year, $100 million contract. I think Randall is also a $100 million contract. So, but those guys, I mean, especially with Brunson, he just came off of a playoff run. So, I don't think he's going to be too keen on a tanking process. Now, what they could do is they could trade a lot of pieces to try to trade up to get him, but they're going to have to trade away a lot of resources. Try to get that guy. But I personally don't think the Knicks need him. I think the Knicks need a guy, but they don't need that. I think they need a great wing who is a veteran scorer and who can put the ball in the rim. That's it. I think they're missing that piece because they already have Mitchell Robinson is a great defensive center, Julius Randle, Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson. You have a good lineup. You're just missing one guy. And I believe that one guy, they'll get a free agent. They'll get a free agency next year. Well, this year, this summer coming up.
All right. Well, stand by, JB. I'm going to go back to my man, DC, to comment on what you just said because this is the team that he loves near and dear to his heart. So let me let DC put on his general manager's hat and see if he can correct us on our observations. Stand by. DC, coming back to you. How are you guys going to be looking, DC, by the time you guys get to February, but trade deadline, what do you need to pick up looking at y'all now based on what JB was just saying, going into the trade deadline, and then also my thoughts on y'all going ahead on taking and getting that big center out of France. Go ahead, sir.
All right, well, first of all, I gotta finish unpacking all the conversations y'all had before. Number one, you're right. The Knicks play the Nets on Wednesday, and that will be on ESPN. So you're right about that. So they do play this week. I think the Knicks will win that game. Three reasons. Number one is at home. Number two, if Ume Udoka is signed as the head coach, it'll probably be his first or second game as a head coach. And so I think that the Nets will definitely, they still got some growing pains to do. Royce O'Neal is a nice player for them. However, he's just a solid piece. He's not the guy. Ben Simmons, if Ben Simmons, Kyrie, and KD are all playing on all cylinders, then you're right, JB. They are arguably the best team in the league, if not the top three, arguably. However, Ben Simmons sucks, and, you know, he's a liability offensively. I mean, he's great with passing the ball. I mean, he's averaging 8-9 assists a game or whatever, but he's not putting up any points. Brunson will make up the difference in points against him. So, you know, even though, you know, Ben Simmons is 6'11", right? So either way, he's just a liability on the offensive side of the ball. And so I think the Knicks will win Wednesday when they play. Julius Randle is, and Rome, you saw my comment last night, I would trade him for a bag of stale Funyuns, and I mean that because, as JB said, as JB said, and I appreciate, JB, you are excellent sports fanatic, you're very observant, you're 100% correct. He's a solid player, but he is not a team leader. He's not a leader. And so the problem the Knicks have, Rome, going to your next question, is a lack of leadership. Julius Randle is not the team leader. They brought Brunson in to be the leader, but he's not a vocal guy. You can see that already. Derrick Rose, while he's clearly the most experienced guy and has the best resume on the team, is yielding to these guys. I watched the game last night, and Julius Randle was bringing the ball up. As soon as Brunson sat down and Derrick Rose came in, Julius Randle says, I'm bringing the ball up now. I'm going to be the point forward. And, of course, he turned the ball over five straight times and contributed to Atlanta's run, right? So, and Derrick Rose let him, right? And so that tells me that Derrick Rose is taking a back seat to being a leader. And so you're right, JB. What they need is a veteran who they need the leadership, not the talent. They actually have wings that can score, that can put the ball in the basket. They just don't have the leadership. That is what I see. How do they make the change? I'll be honest. I think Fournier is going to be the hit. It would not shock me to see Rose be traded, which you could argue, why would they trade a veteran guy? But, you know, I see Rose as a possible trade candidate. I also see Fournier as a possible trade candidate. I don't think tanking is that what they need. As JB said, they don't need that. Mitchell Robinson can score. Hartenstein can score. Even the guy that they got behind him, which is Sims, that young kid can jump out of the gym. He can score. If they just traded Julius Randle, I think this team would do a lot better. If the playoffs started today, the Knicks would be the 10th seed. And Brooklyn would not be in the playoffs if the playoffs started today. I know it's early in the season, and we're only 2 weeks in, but Brooklyn, you ask me, is in trouble. Even if you get Ume Udoka, he's got a lot of off-the-court issues. The team's got issues. He's not going to get a chance to really practice with these guys and understand what all these guys can do from a coaching perspective. And then you're right. JB, you were 100% right when you talked about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has so many off-the-field issues and so many crazy perspectives. I don't see this team as pleasantly constructed actually being a contender at all. I actually think about it. They barely made the playoffs last year, and they were out in the first round. I don't see them making it this year. I don't. Well, they got too many problems. It's possible, though, because right now, the playoffs started today, the Wizards would be the seventh seed. And so I think it's plausible that Brooklyn could replace the Wizards as a seventh seed. But all the other teams that's in would make it. The playoffs started today would be Milwaukee, Cleveland, Toronto, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Philly, Miami, and New York, right? So, again, it's possible that the Brooklyn could swap out with the Wizards, but those other teams, they're in, right? The cream of the crop is pretty much there.
All right. Well, let me say we're back to my man, JB, for one more game that we had to do. We're going to talk about then. I'm going to let you get out of here, JB, but stand by, DC, stand by. All right, JB, I want to ask you, last night I was watching the Cleveland Cavaliers, and, I mean, they look awesome. I'm going to be honest. They look awesome with Donovan Mitchell. With Donovan Mitchell, who they got, Mobley, Jared Allen, I think, with the Afro, if I'm correct. But they look awesome, man. I mean, they look really good. And for them to be able to hang with the Boston Celtics, Eastern Conference champions, and beat them in overtime, I mean, that's amazing. What were your take on last night's game? And do you see Cleveland being a playoff team, a serious playoff team, and a serious contender in the East for the conference championship? Go ahead, JB.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, because that team now, you add a different dynamic now. I mean, when I saw it happen, I'm like, this is – I don't think people really understood what happened when Donovan Mitchell went over there, because now Donovan Mitchell is also playing with other players that are similar to him, that can play off him very well. Darius Garland is a great guard that can play off of him. So, you know, Donovan Mitchell doesn't have to always have the ball in his hands. He can play off ball. Same thing for Darius Garland. He can come off screens. But you got two guys disrupts any offense in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So, everyone knows, I mean, we can talk about basketball being a three-point game all we want. At the end of the day, you still got to play defense and you still got to rebound. And they do that very, very well. There's no fall-off because the bench is still crazy. You have Caris LeVert, who can be a starter for anybody else. Who's out there? You have Isaac Okoro. You have Kevin Love. You have a great team now. And people need to really kind of start paying attention a little bit more to the Cavs because of the fact it's not just Donovan Mitchell that's playing well. Jared Allen is also playing amazing this year. And that dude, whether people want to admit it or not, he's one of the best centers in the league. So, and you also add a young guy with Evan Mobley who can step out, hit a mid-range, hit a three, go in, you know, handle the rock. So, people got to start paying attention, man. And I really hope that Cleveland can do something this year because, you know, of course, everybody in the East is, you know, of course, Nets and Hawks and Philly and the Celtics. I feel like in a seven-game series this year, maybe if you get this team again next year all together and you give them some playoff experience this year, I think next year they'll be in the Eastern Conference Championship. I might be, like I said, maybe not this year, but you give this team a whole year plus the playoffs to gel, I'm willing to guarantee they'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Because of how great they all play, it's like it's crazy. It's like they've been playing together for years. Because if you watch Donovan Mitchell, how effective he is, he's a pick and roll. I can shoot. I can drive. I'm athletic. I can pass. Well, I mean, he's not a great passer, but he's more of like a two guard. Darius Garland is a facilitator. He can also score as well. You add you bring a dynamic, you know, player like that to your team, already good, experience is just going to make this team even better. So I think personally this is going to be a dangerous team in the East. Like I said, maybe not this year. You know, they're going to get to the playoffs this year, of course. I believe so.
Okay.
But I believe next year is going to be their leap year.
Okay. All right, stand by if you got a minute. If you got to go, I'll let you get off here. But stand by for a minute because there's one more topic that I forgot to bring up regarding Adam Silver and Kyrie Irving. I want to ask you about real quick before you go. But stand by. Let me chime DC in here for a minute. Let me chime DC in here for a minute real quick. And on that topic, I'm gonna keep both of y'all on air because I want to kind of like get y'all emotions on this last topic with Kyrie Irving and meeting with Adam Silver about this thing. But stand by, JB. I'm gonna go back to DC for a minute and we'll get that last topic out and get y'all off of here. DC, you there?
I am. Listen, JB was right. I'm gonna say you to ask the question. JB was 100% correct. If you guys saw me physically, I was sitting here nodding my head in agreement through his entire argument. Cleveland is definitely an outstanding team. And again, if the playoffs started today, they'd be the number two seed. I know it's early. I know it's early. But if playoffs started today, they'd be the two seed. And they do look strong. They beat the Knicks. I watched that game. They beat the Knicks, and they had all the Knicks fans on social media crying about why didn't we get Donovan Mitchell. But again, I thought it was a smart move to not take the trade. I thought Utah asked for entirely too much. But again, he is absolutely right. That kid, because he is playing with Darius Garland, Caris LeVert is solid. Moby and Jared Allen is nice. Everybody you named, JB, is spot on. And that helps his game so much. And a lot of people didn't see what Donovan Mitchell did because he played in Utah. Of course, it's a West Coast team. They're not a media outlet. They play late at night. So East Coast, you know, fans, they're already in bed or whatever. So a lot of people didn't know how much talent he had. But now that he's with Cleveland and he's got the supporting cast, oh, yeah, that guy's nice. That guy's nice.
Okay. Let me ask you this here on a more serious note. You know, they got in the across my mind the Kyrie Irving is speaking out. If they add Ime Udoka to this team, how does he really in Kyrie Irving? Because Kyrie Irving is saying on my monitor that he's got to meet next week with Adam Silver. Adam Silver stated that he was expecting Kyrie to basically be a pro and come out and be a pro and be a role model and come out and offer an unqualified apology about the posting that anti-Semitic movie. I believe the name of the movie is called From Hebrews to Negroes, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, please correct me. But he's going to be with Kyrie next week. How does Ime Udoka come in and reel in Kyrie Irving? If you're Ime Udoka, how does that conversation go? Go ahead.
Is that to me or to JB?
That's to you. I still got you here. I got JB in. JB, stand by. JB, stand by. Good.
Here's the answer. He won't. Ime Udoka played in the NBA. He played for the Knicks. He was a solid guard, veteran. But with his personal off-the-field challenges, he doesn't have the moral compass to challenge Kyrie. He doesn't have a better NBA career than Kyrie. Kyrie has a ring, although I didn't think he should, but he has a ring. And so I don't think Kyrie is going to listen to Ime Udoka. Regardless, I think he's going to respect him as a man and as a brother, but I don't think he's going to listen to him. So I think Ime Udoka is not going to be able to make any difference. Kyrie marches to beat his own drum. And the only person that got some say-so with Kyrie is KD, and KD doesn't want to be a leader. He just wants to play ball.
Okay. I'm gonna chime JB in here. JB, I'm coming to you now. We're all on air. JB, what's your counter offer to that? You put on your coaching hat. If you're Ime Udoka, how do you reel in Kyrie Irving, and can it be done?
Yeah, I mean, and he is totally right. So you want and you want me to lead by example, right? So you're saying you want Kyrie to lead by example, correct? So
correct.
If that's the case, right, Kyrie's going to look at me and say, well, you didn't lead by example with your case. So you get what I'm saying? Like, that's where the, you know, there's going to be a bounce back. Hey, Kyrie, I want you to be responsible and come out with a statement. He's going to look at me and say, well, you never really came out with a statement. The Celtics came out with a statement and said that you're suspended. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a lot of back and forth with that because Kyrie, and he's perfectly correct when he said he marches to the beat of his own drum. So, again, it's like, you're going to bring a guy into a firestorm who just left a firestorm to get into another firestorm just in a different city? Oh, no, you're just asking for, you'll come out better hiring Quinn Snyder. You'll come out better hiring anyone else than Udoka because I know what that conversation is going to be like. Because there's no way, and for me, even as a player, if it comes out publicly that my coach had relations with, you know, whatever, and that whole situation that happened, and it was whatever that happened. So if you want me to be a role model, why weren't you being a role model with that situation? You get what I'm saying? So it's too much back and forth, I think, for me to bring Udoka into that situation because he's not going to handle that. Kyrie's not going to handle that. And like he said,
Let me chime in here, JB and Ray, just question to both of you guys. Both of you guys are still in queue on air. DC, you are still in queue. Let me raise this question to both of you guys. And I say it's just going on the show that I don't think that the trade is that the contract for Udoka to come to the Nets is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why. It's sort of like when Michael Vick got charged with dog fighting. You know, he served his penance. But then when he was going to Philadelphia, they was like, all the women there was like, hell no, we don't want him here. Why are you bringing him here? Mm-hmm. We don't want him. And until he started winning games, you know, they turned that noise down because, you know, winning always trumps everything. You know, but they got a lot of backlash in the organization for bringing Michael Vick over there. But Michael Vick has served his penance. Move that out the way. I heard one of the media experts on TV said that they don't think Udoka should get the job right away like this because he hasn't served the penance. Some people would argue, well, since he got suspended from the team and they know he's going to be let go from the team and all this good stuff. So he's served his time in the public, in the court of public opinion. But some experts are saying he hasn't served a long enough penance. I don't see it happening for the same reason with Michael Vick. People are going to be like, the women, why are you bringing him here? This was a man-woman situation, you know. He was over a subordinate, blah, blah, blah. We don't want him here. Now, of course, if he can get there and start winning, then, of course, yeah, they're gonna turn it down. But I don't see it happening. But I'm going to let you and JB, you and DC, go ahead and tell me if I'm correct on that, if it's going to happen or not. I don't think it's going to happen. But go ahead, guys.
Well, I think it's going to happen because, remember, he was accused of having sex with two women, one the wife of the VP of finance and one a staffer. I think nobody cares that he had sex with the staffer. I think the issue was the VP of finance on the board of directors or whatever, his wife. I think that was what caused the challenge, not the staffer, right? Who cares if you a team assistant or a video person or whatever? Nobody cared about that. So I think he'll still get the job. And I think Boston wants to let him go. They just don't know how to let him go, right? They don't want to make it, you know, they don't want to make it look too bad if they just fire him, right? So they try to find another way to resolve it. So I think that's why Boston said, oh, if he wants to leave and go to New York, to Brooklyn, go ahead, right? And I think because they really don't want him, but they don't want to mess up the social media perspective, right? This is an African-American. Kyrie has already came out and said how racist they are in Boston, you know, that kind of deal, right? So they don't want to do that, right? So they'll let him walk away. I think if Brooklyn legitimately offers him the job, he'll leave and get a fresh start somewhere else. Also, because he took him to the Eastern Conference, he won the Eastern Conference championship last year. He's the new hot coach, right? So I think they would take him. If you relate it back to the Saints, Sean Payton had those controversies around him. He had a year suspension and all that, and but he was able to maintain his job. He still got the same job. So I do think Ime Udoka could get hired with Brooklyn. I don't think you have the challenges with moral compass in Brooklyn that you do in other places. I mean, you know, Brooklyn is obviously New York and a New York borough, and New York is kind of, you know, rough, rugged, and raw, right? It's known as kind of a ruthless place. So I don't think no one in New York would be mad from that way. I do agree that wins make a difference. The thing is I just think Ime Udoka would not, because he didn't have training camp with these guys, he's not going to get a lot of practice time. I don't see him making a lot of changes, installing his offense or anything like that, that would take this team on the top. So even if he comes, I just don't think that they would do as well. And then Ben Simmons is a liability. He's just a liability. You know,
JB chiming in here, and comment on some of this that DC is saying, because you just said that he's leaving out a 1-5 storm going into another one. But I'm like this here. If he's already on fire and burning, I mean, what's a little more heat? But go ahead.
Yeah, no, you got a good point. DC has, you know, some amazing points. But the dynamic of this whole situation is, one, we're not just dealing with any team. I think things are magnified, and I might be wrong, but I feel like when you're coaching in New York, it's a whole lot different than Boston. Like, I've never been to Boston, but I've been in New York, and I know there's some differences. So everything you do, that if you had a microscope on you, you know, in Boston, now you're under the biggest microscope of your life when you're in New York, especially for the Brooklyn Nets. So, prime example, I just read a little bit of what Adam Silver said. There's no way that maybe Udoka can come over there and he's able to, you know, tap into Kyrie and get him to kind of, you know, and get Ben Simmons on the right track. But if I'm going to be real with you, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I do not see that situation playing out any better than what has already happened. KD just went on a whole rant this whole summer about firing the coach, Steve Nash. Nash didn't even do anything, but just didn't force Kyrie to play. Like, that was it. That was literally the only reason. I mean, the only backlash I can get for Steve Nash, and I think Steve Nash also, you know, that's his first coaching job. But you got a guy like KD who demands the coaching to do something that he doesn't want to do, which is being a leader. And do I think, you know, Udoka is going to be a leader?
JB, stand by for 1 second. DC, I want to remind you that you're still on. Both of y'all still on air in this conversation, so y'all can chime in at will with each other. But go ahead and finish that thought, JB.
Yeah, so, like DC said, like, KD, to me, he just wants to hoop. But that's not enough for where he's at. You know, you had an attitude when Ben Simmons came over. You had an attitude last year because Kyrie wasn't playing. You're the veteran. You're the leader. So I know you don't, you know, Kyrie's his own man. He's a grown man. He's going to handle what he handled. But we also have to really understand that you're going to ask someone to a situation already, like you said, hey, what's more fire to the situation? But that fire is a little different from Boston to New York. That's my whole take on that.
I agree, JB. I agree. And I'm going to tell you where Kyrie Irving is on his way. he's on his way out of the league, because now he's attacking the owner of the Nets for making a labeling him as anti-Semitic. And let me tell you something: the owner of the Brooklyn Nets is the Chinese dude, Tsai or something,
Joe
like that, right? Yeah, and this dude runs, right, he runs Alibaba, and Alibaba's like a $300 billion corporation. It's like in the Forbes top 10 or whatever of ownership and wealthiest companies in the world, right? So this guy, Kyrie, no matter what kind of contract Kyrie got, that guy can afford it. He owns the arena, right? He doesn't just own the team, he owns the arena. So all the fights that be happening in the arena, that guy gets paid off all that, right? So he can afford to swallow Kyrie's contract and just let the guy go, right? And so do I see them, if they do, let's pretend they sign Ume Udoka. And Ume Udoka gives it a shot with Kyrie, and Kyrie says, I don't want to play ball. Then what's going to happen is, Joseph Tsai, whatever his name is just going to cut Kyrie, right, and leave him, and let him go. And then it's going to be Ume, KD, and Ben Simmons. Now, again, with KD alone, and you're right, JB, KD just won a ball, but that ain't going to be enough, right? It's going to prove his leadership void is a vacuum, and it ain't going to be enough to get that team in the top 10 in the Eastern Conference. KD alone is not enough.
No, he's not even close to being enough. Like, and I hate to keep going back, but think about KD's whole career, right? It's always been, man, he's good, just not good enough. Man, he's good, just not good enough. He went to the, you know, him and Westbrook and Harden went to the finals against, I mean, the Heat, which they killed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, look at the seasons after that. The year he went over to the Warriors, the Thunder were up against them, was winning the series 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
In the series that he went over and he made that switch. The reason, and I don't care if people can call it a business decision, people can call it, I don't care what you want to call it, but that was, let me get the heat off me and let me go somewhere where the heat is on me, but I got enough resources around me where the heat is not technically on me. Because at the end of the day, when KD went over to the Warriors, that was Steph's team. That was still a Steph,
yep,
Clay, Draymond team. You know, you can watch that game, and you saw who the leader was. You saw,
mm-hmm,
and people can get mad at me because I don't take those when KD went back to when they won those back to back championships. It didn't faze me because I'm still looking at you as you're still not a leader, because when you left them, you went over to the Nets and you wanted to bring your boys over with you. Left. Kyrie didn't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're really the leader, and you're folding. You are,
mm-hmm,
folding. And it's not stats that I want people to understand. It's not just a stat thing. Prime example, LeBron can go out and score 15 points with 8 assists and 8 rebounds, but you see him being a leader.
Yeah.
There's going to be times where LeBron is like, he has those moments, but when I'm watching a game or when I'm listening to KD talk, it's never, hey, that one is on me. Hey, we have to – there's never a we. It's always, I mean, you know, this is that. It's general conversation.
Yep.
The leader part of KD is not there because he's never been that. You know, I think I mentioned it, you know, in the show a couple weeks ago. We're trying to make people who we want them to be, and that's not who they're going to be. We're not. You can't make Ben Simmons shoot like Steph. He's what? I think Ben Simmons is a 6'7" year in the league. Something like,
yep,
that. Like,
he wasn't a baller in college. I mean, when he was at LSU, he wasn't scoring like that either. I mean, He had bigger than everybody as a point guard. He was making incredible passes, good defender, but he wasn't killing it offensively. You know,
and that's my whole
not, you're
point
right.
Because look at when the 76ers went to the playoffs, right? Oh, you know what? Let me not say that. When you watch him from year one, he's a great. Everybody will let you during the regular season. Yes, go ahead, charge the rim, do what you got to do. Ah, you're screaming, you're dunking, alley-oop, passing, cool. Playoffs. Now, that guy, the superstar that everybody wanted him to be, oh, man, now we're in the playoffs. Okay. Shoot. Let's make him – and now you start seeing his inefficiencies. But then it got to the point where everybody said, wait a minute. Yo, Ben, you can't shoot. can't. You're not supporting. I remember he had like 30, 12, and 4 or something like that. And Ben Simmons, being the superstar, quote unquote, that everybody wants him to be, had 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, it's not my fault. It's the 76ers' fault that I can't shoot. It's their fault. It's not me. It's not me. It's not that I'm being inefficient or, you know, I'm not using my off seasons wisely as being a shooter. You know, trying to learn how to shoot. It's not my fault. It's the Sixers' fault. How is it Doc's fault?
You're right. I totally agree. And that's the thing. He's not a dog, he's not that kind of guy, and never will be. He's proven he will not be, right? He uses what he got to get him there. He's never going to alternate his game.
Well, guys, real quick, let me time in here so I can get you out of here because it's near the end of the show. But before I go, I want to ask you guys to comment on this here, and then y'all can go ahead and go. Kyrie is on TV right now making a statement to the press. I can't hear my monitor right now because I'm on air, but he's on the monitor right now making a statement, and he's saying something about, hey, I apologize, you know, I take full responsibility for posting up something with some falsehoods in it. Now, do you guys think that Adam Silver, number one, has the right to call Kyrie Irving into his office like you a bad kid at school? Come to the principal's office. I'm going to sit you down and talk to you and paddle you for, you know, because where I'm from, we paddle kids back in the day. I'm going to paddle you for doing this. Do you think he has the right to be acting like Roger Goodell in the NFL, you know, calling people to the office, handing down punishment, I mean, for something like this? Because the man does have the right. It's called freedom of speech. He does have the right to post up what he wants to post up. His views on life is his views on life. I don't think he commented on the fact of the statements that was made in the film thing, just the fact that he posted it. So it's him agreeing with anything, and there was an issue. So do you guys think is Adam Silver blowing this out of proportion by calling Kyrie up to the office? And is his rights being violated? Is his civil rights being violated? Go ahead, guys. I'll let you guys, both of y'all, chime in on this, and then we'll get up out of here.
Right. The short answer is no. Adam Silver is not wrong. Kyrie absolutely deserves what he got. Remember, when you sign up to participate in these leagues, you have to follow the rules of the league. And all the teams, remember, the commissioner works for the owners of the team, right? The owners of the team is his boss, him being the commissioner. And it's not good for the brand. So Adam Silver definitely has the right to do this. And additionally, Adam Silver is a lawyer. And I'm here to let you know that Kyrie's personal endorsement is one thing. But when you're in a position of attached to a league and an organization, when you go out and say something, then you're given the perspective that the organization supports it too. So he posted something on his personal Twitter feed, but he didn't actually say these views are mine and mine only, or these views are not mine. These views don't represent the NBA or the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets. I'm just literally posting something that I watched. You know, he didn't put any disclaimers in there. And so because of that, yeah, he's in violation of some agreements. So he got what he deserved.
JB, go ahead.
DC is correct. I mean, you take that leap to being a pro, you take everything that it comes with. It'll be different if, let's say, if I wouldn't do this, but let's say I would have posted the same thing he posted, right? Same exact words. No one would, there wouldn't be an uproar, right? Because I'm not getting paid $40 million to play baseball or play basketball. I'm not. But Adam Silver's also Jewish. So, I think, what was it, their last home game, there were some Jewish people sitting in, like, literally courtside with T-shirts on. So, this is not, you know, and this is not something minor. This is not a Anthony Edwards thing. You know, I don't know if you guys remember the Anthony Edwards thing that happened this summer where, you know, Anthony Edwards, a bunch of, you know, gay guys and said some stuff.
Right.
There was no, you know, of course, you know, Anthony Edwards made a statement literally the morning after he found out that, you know, it was an issue. But Kyrie never, and of course you see, like, okay, the Brooklyn Nets put up $500,000 and Kyrie put up $500,000 for a Jewish, what is that? It was some organization. But he's not wrong because Adam Silver. So when people say, hey, looking at the NBA, yeah, Kyrie's tripping. So who's his boss? Adam Silver. Adam Silver's thinking of money. That's you messing up money, bro. Like, that's just it. You're doing all this. You're messing up my money. So, but your inability to be a professional and to say, you know what, that one's on me because I wasn't, you know, or whatever Kyrie's going to say. There's nothing that Kyrie will say that will make me feel like it's genuine. Because if it was genuine, when did Kyrie do this? I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah,
I believe like it was, yeah, last week. You went through all these games, practices, every day. You didn't have nothing to say? But now you have something to say because Now Adam Silver wants you to say something? To me, there's nothing that Kyrie would say that would make me feel like it's genuine. So
right.
I'm going to leave it at that because, you know, at the end of the day, if it was genuine, you know, if it was something with me, I would come out and say, you know what, that's on me because I didn't think about, you know, Blase Splee in depth or whatever's going to happen. But he didn't.
Well,
he let it fester and he let it go and that's Kyrie's thing, man.
Well, I wanna thank JB, I wanna thank you for being on the show, man. I wanna thank DC for being on the show. And I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys get up out of here and everything like that. And for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Bear Radio Show broadcasting live from WBST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 9:45 a.m. I want to thank my man JB and my man DC for being on the show this morning. Thank you guys for calling in and contributing on some major subjects and some with baseball and with basketball. And I want to thank you guys for being on the show and everything like that. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead on and close the show out for the day. We're going to go ahead on and set black and fade all. I want to thank everybody for tuning in that's listening live to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. We just want to thank you for calling in. It was listening in live today, or if you're listening in to the recording, if you'd like to call in to the show at any time, our call-in guest line is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And just want to thank my number one and number two sports contributors that came on the show and made it a great show today. There was my man JB out of Detroit and my man DC out of Maryland. They both called in, and I believe we had a great show today, very entertaining, and I will be promoting that out on Twitter and everything like that. we're going to be going to like a three sport contributor format to where we call that our versus series, to where we got guys, you know, like this morning, JB and DC, they can call in and either agree or disagree or agree to disagree on the show. DC being my number one sports contributor, I'm looking for guys and girls to call in and you know, either agree, disagree, or agree to disagree on the topics that we propose and everything like that on the show. Anyway, with that being said, I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. We'll see you guys on Monday. Today is my Friday, so we'll see you guys on Monday, bright and early on Monday morning. That is November the 7th. We'll see you guys bright and early Monday morning on November the 7th, talking all things week. It should be what will we be in week 10. We'll be in week 10 of NFL. Right about the right around the midway point of the season. So we'll be calling in, talking a lot of stuff about Monday Night Football, because that's the big game down in New Orleans in the Superdome. My New Orleans Saints are going to be going against our show's number one sports contributor, DC's Baltimore Ravens. So we're going to get off into that topic. But with that being said, everybody stay safe out there. It is cold and flu season. Please keep your mask on. Please use your hand sanitizer. Please keep looking out for monkeypox and look out. COVID-19 is still out there. Get your flu shots. Get your COVID-19 boosters. Let's do all the things that we need to do to keep the human population safe and to keep each other safe, keep your family safe. If you get sick, get to a doctor. Quarantine yourself if you got a family. Quarantine yourself from your kids, husband or wife, by 5 days so you start feeling better. And then, you know, make sure you take the medication that you need to take from the doctor. I'm no doctor, but I'm just giving my own personal opinion on what people need to do. On the other side of it, you know, on the humanity side, love one another, treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. We're all one race. That's the human race. Make peace, not war. Pray for Brittany Griner that she has a safe return home really soon. And at the same time, pray for those in Ukraine that this war ends very soon. With that being said, this is Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Have a great day and have a great weekend. We're going to set black and fade on.